Good morning.
Cece Pratt.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it's so great to have you on because I really identify you with as the go-to person for our local Red Cross. And in kind of doing some research, I realize I just kind of identify with the Red Cross. I see the van around. But, man, this organization, you know, reaches far and wide and has such a deep history.
You bet. Yeah, yeah. And also, I am the one that's running around town. I couldn't do it without all of our volunteers. Luckily, in Lincoln County, we have about 24 of active folks throughout the county, north, you know, Newport and south counties. And long before I started with the Red Cross and long after, those folks will be doing our good works.
It seems to me like you're so on it. You know, it's taken me a while to get up to speed with this emergency preparation. And, you know, it just seems like you've really got a good grasp on it. Did that come quickly or how did that work out?
Well, actually, I've only been with the Red Cross for 5 years and I had been eased into it. I started out with CPR and first aid and did that primarily for a year, ensuring that businesses could get the training. Community members and organizations had support in regards to that one program and service. But the Red Cross does 5 different programs and services. And after that first year, I guess when I was getting my feet wet, I got a little bit more involved and helped take over the office here in Newport. A year after that, I was in charge of Lincoln, Linn, and Benton counties. And then we did a little bit of reorganization. And then I fell back just to Lincoln County. And now there are some new changes on the horizon. And now we're going to be trying a different restructuring, a whole reorganization of the Red Cross.
Can you talk about what's been happening and what has necessitated the restructuring or where the organization is going as a result of that?
My goal is to focus more on disaster services. As you said, it is far-reaching. It's a big job, and I really want to ensure that we are better prepared here on the coast. And so does the Red Cross in general. With the tsunami, actually, Casey, you know, what happened was that we all noticed that we weren't as ready as we'd like to be.
Yeah.
Gail McGovern, our CEO from Washington, D.C., had taken a trip over to Japan and made a lengthy stop here. And realize that the same situations that they had encountered there and are still trying to, you know, recover from is the same situations that we're going to see here. And they basically said we need to really make it a primary focus. And that's what we've done. So we are taking my, which I love, health and safety, CPR, teaching first aid, and stuff like that. We're taking my focus a little bit more away from that and primarily trying to better our readiness here in Oregon on the coast. So because of that, we've widened my region. Although it's narrow, I have from Florence to Astoria now. I've been given a new title because, again, we want to ensure...
That's a big area.
It's a large area. But, again, you know, because you asked why, because from Florence to Astoria, we all have the same needs. We all have the same dynamics, the same uncertain or, you know... Certainly, threats, you know, the things. And there's things like dialogue and, interactions. Our rural communities are similar. And that's what I am, able to address and speak to, hopefully, and make sure that we become, a bit better prepared.
Oh, I think, you're the perfect person for it. You seem so driven to me, and I know that's just part of your personality to be very enthusiastic, which is great because it seems like an emergency preparation, we need somebody like you to, you know, make the enthusiasm contagious.
Exactly.
Because, okay, we had our event, and it's definitely brought a lot of attention, for better or for worse, that we needed about preparation.
Right. But it has to continue.
Yeah.
And we need to continue that momentum and ensure, even though skies are blue, that we're still making the necessary preparations. So my job is to ensure that we have shelters, that we have trained folks that are able to respond when necessary, that we have those partnerships with, be it fire chiefs or CERT members.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So we want to ensure that we have ham radio operators or agreements with mom and pop grocers along the coast, and be it Pacific City or, you know, Cannon Beach, could be Seal Rock, and you know, although I'm not a resident of Oregon, I understand the needs of those individual islands and pockets, and I want to ensure that all those people have a plan. And
yeah.
And I am pretty passionate about it. It's hard for me to contain it. And I think, you know, the fact is that I really don't have to now. So, yeah, I really hope to spread the word more and more.
And you were you continue to do any kind of CPR training still?
I really shouldn't, no. You know, like I said, my focus is to be on, it's really hard for me, Casey, because I really did love, again, that education piece and ensuring that folks got something out of it, because I, too, had to take CPR and first aid
yeah.
redundantly every year, once a year for work. It's something that most licensures are, you know, it's required.
You have to retrain every,
and,
every year.
Yeah, and it was so dull. I remember, you know, myself 20 years ago having to do it because I worked in the schools. And it was just the worst thing. But I've also had to use my training. And I want mm-hmm. to ensure that when someone has to use their skills, that they can just go to that place and say, oh, yeah, I know how to do that, and resort to route memory, you know, just routine,
right.
and pick it back up. Because when you have to use those skills, much like any disaster, it sucks. It's just the worst thing you have to do. But it really does make a difference. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show, but I didn't mention to you, my husband, I swear, he walks today because I didn't move that man, and he had a hunting accident,
oh
a terrible,
Lord.
Terrible hunting accident, and he fell 30 feet.
Wow.
I was the first responder.
Uh-huh.
We ensured that he had the proper care, and after a couple surgeries, even though they told me he'd never walk again,
okay.
my husband walks just fine. So
Yeah.
And so I really
wow.
contribute that to that constant, continuous training, that once a year, every year, just, you know, redundant,
yeah,
you know,
there's a
training.
Reason for the redundancy.
Yeah, so that when you do have to, you can just go into a robotic mode and just do what needs to be done, regardless of the situation, your emotions, you know, and that's why when I had the opportunity to work for the Red Cross, I welcomed it.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. and I think if you're taking that same attitude towards preparation, that's good,
yeah.
you know, to kind of rehearse that,
you
to
bet.
Simulate it with your family.
Sure.
I mean.
Sure. And that's what it is, because, you know, I really just consider myself a mom and a housewife. But what I do and my approach to getting someone to understand things with an education piece or with CPR really is from selfishness, because my family is also my community. And,
yeah.
you know, and my community is growing. My daughter is older now, and, you know, who knows where she's going to be. And I'd really like the world to be a safer place. I mean, I know that sounds so dull, but so Pollyanna-like, but I do. I want everybody to be okay.
You know, we're in our, what I call our second phase of making our emergency preparedness home kits.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, my wife put our first one together just like a week before we had our tsunami. And I'll tell you, now we're ratcheting it up to another level.
Sure.
But we just really weren't quite there.
Right.
And, you know, I really am glad to see her get involved in these types of things. And
mm-hmm.
so I think we should maybe drill into that. I do want you to give us kind of an umbrella look at the Red Cross
yes.
locally first before
sure.
we get into your disaster prep type stuff. Lincoln County Connections, we're talking to Cece Pratt. She's a readiness specialist with the American Red Cross Willamette chapter, which serves us here on the Oregon coast. Cece, this is a new title for you. You said you're shifting into disaster preparation. working with the community, basically being a liaison, drilling deeper into these needs.
And I have. I always have for the last 4 years. But just in this county, shortly for a while, when I was district director of Lincoln, Linn, and Benton counties, then I did a couple of other counties. Now it's going to be 4 counties. Mm-hmm. So, but only part of those counties. We have narrowed a corridor along the coast, as I mentioned earlier, from Florence to Astoria. So I'm going to be on the road a bit, and our office hours will vary. They're going to change, but we are always available. We're ever ready, because lots of the situations that we encounter with the Red Cross, for instance, with home fires, they generally happen in the middle of the night.
Right.
On a weekend. So we luckily enough have a great answering service that I love. They have had our backs for about a year and a half, I want to say. And they will patch through calls, because what happens is we actually get a phone call from 911. And they contact us looking for me. Sometimes a Red Cross representative, because, I can't be everywhere at all times.
Yeah.
We have volunteers on call 24/7. And those representatives are the face of the Red Cross. They go and meet clients and ensure that if, for instance, your neighbor were to have a house fire, that family has their needs met. We will ensure that they have a debit card that we load up depending upon the size of their family, and they can use that for food and clothing. We ensure that they have a roof over their head. If they don't have a place to stay, then we'll put them up in a hotel. And that's what our Red Cross volunteers do, one of the many things that our Red Cross volunteers do, just whenever necessary. And we get that information from our answering service. So also our office hours will vary. I have full confidence in our answering service. They've been doing it for so long. They know when to patch a call directly through to me, because I always have my work cell phone on me. I'm always available no matter what the situation is. But sometimes they just get messages to me. After the fact, I check my messages regularly and answer accordingly, get back to people. One of the things that I think I have been promoted, one of the reasons that I was chosen for the new position, is because I am really particular with follow-through. I think that, you know, you can be present, you can be a do-gooder, you can want to help in the community, but if you don't actually follow through, the Red Cross might lose their impact, their positive impact.
Yeah,
in the community.
And that's great, because keeping that Godspeed to the issue is really, really paramount. We need to have those relationships in place so you guys can deploy where you need to deploy, when you need to.
And it's important in all of our programs and services. So it's, you know, just it's important.
Now, you mentioned something interesting that I didn't realize. I, of course, identify with the Red Cross with the larger scale situations. But you're saying individual families receive services even if your house burned down.
Well, because it's natural disasters. And so I think it was earlier this year, we had landslides in Walport. It happens that the Siletz floods. So we do have, although, you know, a volcano hasn't erupted in some time in our area, we do have just about everything else. You know, there was the tornado in Lincoln City. So we do have these situations that have to be addressed, maybe not on as large a scale as the nation, but we are just one county. So when you look at it, we still get our own, you know, Mother Nature situations, our own percentile of it. And so we do have to prepare, be prepared for all sorts of things. But, yes, predominantly here in Lincoln County, we respond to approximately one home fire a month. And so that's our average.
You know, in the situation of where there's an evacuation, and I think, you know, you had pointed this out at one of our meetings, that the American Red Cross can't be at every potential evacuation site, but when you are at a site, what kind of services do you provide?
Well, you know, we always want to focus on food, you know, feeding folks, shelter. Those are our primary
food
goals. You know, food and shelter, those are our first things. Comfort, of course, is a secondary, but our main concern is to food, clothe and feed folks. We we'll generally concentrate on the first 3 days of a situation. So be it a house fire, for instance, we will provide hotel accommodations for the first 3 days. Sometimes,
wow.
when necessary, then we will also help with folks getting on their feet, maybe helping with first or last, sometimes rent. But usually we want people to rely on their own resources
yeah.
and community resources, because we are already stretched pretty thin, that we do a lot of referrals and partnerships with different organizations. So that's our you know, main focus with disaster services, at least on the onset.
For preparation, where does a family begin? I mean, they can begin by getting mentorship from you, looking online. Obviously, the Red Cross mm-hmm. website is, mm-hmm. is full of resources, or come purchase preparation
sure.
kits. How,
yeah.
how does
we,
that
we
work?
Do. We have retail items that you can purchase, but generally what we do, and what I'm going to be doing more of, is along the coast having what we call preparedness education presentations.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we're at booths. This Friday we'll be at the Lincoln City Chinook Winds Safety Fair, for instance. And so we have these tables and things like that. But the best way that a family can get information, like you said, is online, just logging on to Red Cross .org. There are videos, there are lists, there are wonderful tools to help you become organized, no matter what level of preparedness you're at. At preparedness education presentations, we have the opportunity to discuss specifically with families about what they need. Because, yes, you do need a kit, and you're right, but your young family, for instance, also has to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
That plan is going to change depending upon if, as your family grows, for instance, but
mm-hmm.
also if your place of employment changes, or, you know, just as the dynamics of a family changes. And so your plan needs to change. Because what happens is, we found that maybe children are looking for their parents, or a husband's looking for their wife, and folks are running around like a chicken with their head cut off, or
yeah.
ships in the night. The thing is that we want folks to know exactly, have a clear understanding and expectations of what the other members in their family are going to do. It's simple when we think about a house fire. Everybody's supposed to meet at the big tree or the mailbox
yeah.
out at the swing. Everybody knows that you're supposed to be there. And if every member's not there, then, okay, a heightened alert can go out. Well, it's that same idea. We want you to have a meeting place, you know, outside of your home.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to have a meeting place somewhere else in your neighborhood, somewhere else in your community. And then we'd also like you to have a meeting place outside of your town. If you were expected to evacuate, where would Charity and the baby go?
Right.
You know, where would they be if you had to, you couldn't go Highway 20, you had to go 18, where are you guys going to meet in the valley? You should have a clear understanding where that's going to be, so that there's no panic. We want people to be prepared and not to panic. We want people to become aware and not anxious. And so that's just it. Let's ease fear and bring about that knowledge. And like I said, just a clear expectation, a broad understanding of what's going to happen, what path you're going to take, and how you're going to, you know, get there.
So do you have coursework or steps to help people go through the steps of making a plan?
Well, really, there's just three simple steps: making a preparedness kit at home, also making that plan, and then staying informed. We will, like I said, walk folks through during these presentations. They can be as quick as 20 minutes or 2 hours. We will do a general preparedness with an emphasis on tsunamis, or a general preparedness with an emphasis on wild winter storms, things
mm-hmm.
like that, wildfires, anything that folks have an interest in. And we speak to, you know, the concerns. Sometimes folks want to speak specifically about talking to neighbors who don't want to leave. Maybe they live in a senior community. There's a lot of different levels of preparedness that we can approach. Then we talk about, for instance, what exactly should be in your kit, what's necessary, and what is more of a comfort item, you know, some
yeah.
bonus things that could be in your kit. We talk about making those plans, making those contacts, mapping it out. We can speak specifically on any area that folks aren't more familiar with. We talk about staying informed with reliable resources, real the real time informative sites. We want folks to know who to turn to, not necessarily Gladys Kravitz in your neighborhood. And, you know, the town crier may not necessarily have, you know, their finger on the pulse. We want folks to know what's going on. In, for instance, our last tsunami, folks didn't know when the all clear really was.
Right.
If they were in touch with NOAA, for instance, because we did have online, then we could go ahead and ensure everybody has that access.
Cece, man, so much to cover, and I'm really glad your title, the readiness specialness, this is perfect. And you've got your work cut out for you, I know, because I think it's one of those things that deserves, you know, repetitive diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And when I went to the American Red Cross website, finding a local chapter was easy. I put in our zip code, and it came to you. And is that generally maybe how you suggest? Look you up in the phone book.
Yeah.
Go online.
Yep. And our number is 265-7182, so you can always reach me.
Okay. We'll have to have you back on the program. And remember, if you want to be ready and get your disaster preparation tight, contact the American Red Cross. They'll walk you through it. Thanks for listening to Lincoln County Connections today. And we'll see you next week, same time, same place, here on KCUP.